I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and hold them up in the air. Thanks for bringing them with you. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, I encourage you to take a Bible from the pew rack in front of you. And would you turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. This is a very, very, very familiar passage, I know, to each one of you. But I ask that you just simply reread it with me. I'll read aloud. You can read to yourself. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Starting with verse 25. Luke chapter 10. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you shall live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes. They beat him and then went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. And he went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey and he took him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." In response to the greatest commandment question, then he said, "The second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." We've covered those first three in the last 3 weeks. But how do we really love God with all of our strength? It's something I think we can wrestle with. We can say the verse. It's the number one verse quoted by Jewish families all the time. But what does it mean? What does it mean to love God with all of our strength? I believe that in this parable, even though you've heard it 1,000 times, in this parable we have the answer. So we're going to get right to it, right after a word of prayer. Would you pray with me, church? Loving Father, we thank you that you've given us your holy word. You've given us principles to live by, and you've given us illustrations to show us how that might be done. Lord, you've given us your Holy Spirit that we might understand your word. You've opened up our mind to the scriptures. You've pierced our heart with your spirit. So now, once again, Father, I pray that this evening would not be wasted time, that this would be time in your presence, that our lives somehow might be transformed for having spent this time with you and with the body of Christ. Lord, I pray that you would be our teacher, that you would speak to me and through me, that only your message would be proclaimed, that you would protect us all from having anything of our flesh creep into this time. And may we love you with all of our strength. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, of all 4 ways that Jesus says we are to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, I really believe that this parable is about the last one, of loving God with all your strength. Now, certainly the others are in there to some small degree, I think. But really, it's talking about loving God with all of our strength. Now, strength in the scriptures, and this has got some exceptions, really deals with physical strength more than anything else, the strength of an army, the strength of a body. Every once in a while, we do see places where it talks about spiritual strength. Somebody's faith is weak or it's strong, or we're supposed to stand strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And he talks about all the pieces of armor that we put on, and they're of a different nature other than the physical. But almost, with just a few exceptions, almost always it's talking about physical strength. So how do we love God with our strength, with our muscles, with our body, with our actions? The Samaritan, I believe, the Good Samaritan, I think, gives us an example. Let's look at this parable. Jesus talks about what happens. Now, if you remember what happens, there's a Jewish man who is along the side of a road going down from Jerusalem. You always go up to Jerusalem and down from Jerusalem. Even if you are in the north, you always go up to Jerusalem because it is on a hill. It's on a temple mount, but it's also a place of spiritual height. You never go down to Jerusalem. You'll never see that phrase. But they were coming down from Jerusalem into Jericho, and everyone was familiar with that road that was filled with bandits, filled with ruffians. And so they knew what Jesus was talking about, and they might have even possibly seen somebody beaten along the road sometime in their life. And so there's a Jewish man on the road, and Jesus says he came upon some robbers, and they stripped him naked. They beat him so that he would need some serious medical care, leaving him half dead. You follow me so far? And they robbed him of all of his possessions. Now, along comes the Samaritan, as you know, after two godly men. Say that loosely. Two men who should be godly, who know the law, that we're supposed to love God and love our neighbors. We're supposed to show compassion on the poor and those who are needy. This is a Jewish brother of theirs, maybe related. And they pass by because of all kinds of traditional stuff. They touch him. They might become contaminated. Maybe they were in a hurry. All kinds of reasons. But whatever the reason, their business at hand was more important than saving this life. So a Samaritan comes. And what does he do? It says here he's naked. So we know that he cared for his needs there, and he probably wrapped a cloak around him, and he dressed his wounds, and he gave him wine and some oil for the wounds. He set him upon his donkey, and he takes him because he is homeless. He's a stranger without a home. He takes him to an inn, and then he has others care for him. He gives him two silver coins and says to the innkeeper, the innkeeper's not going to take care of him. He's got to hire somebody because he's got innkeeper business to take care of, right? So he's got to hire somebody from the outside who's going to nurse him, who's going to feed him because he's hungry. He's going to give him something to drink because he's thirsty. Any of this starting to ring of Matthew 25 with you? One day we're all going to stand before the Lord and he's going to separate us like a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, right? He's going to say, depart from me, you on the left, you goats, into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels, because I was beaten up on the side of the road. I was naked. I needed care in the hospital. I was sick, if you will. I was thirsty. I was hungry. I was a stranger. And you didn't care for my needs. So depart from me. And they said, when? And you know this too. You didn't do it for the least of my brethren. You didn't do it for me. Stay with me. Then he turns to those on his right and he says to you, the sheep, enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Because when I was hurting, you cared for me. When I was thirsty and hungry, you cared for me. You invited me into your home when I was a stranger in need. The only thing that isn't included here was the guy wasn't a prisoner. And he can visit. But everything else is the same. And Jesus says that this man cared for him and he was showing love for his neighbor by what he did for him physically. And Jesus says in Matthew 25, what he did for that Jewish enemy of his, he was doing for Jesus. So you want to know, how do we love God with all of our strength? I think it's here. Because it comes on the tail end of the question. How do I inherit eternal life? How do I enter the kingdom? You enter it by caring, by doing things for Jesus, by doing things for others in need. So I think that's really the answer to the question as far as how do we connect? How do we do that? Now, let me tell you something. This is critical. This is so critical that you and I get this down. Loving God with all of our strength. We can quote it. We can say, I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Just like we say this ridiculous phrase, I love so-and-so unconditionally. I've never yet found somebody who ever loves anybody unconditionally, even though we use it all the time. Forgive me if I've stepped on your toes. But we can say we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. But if we leave the people that are our brothers and sisters, or those even that are our enemies, uncared for, then we haven't loved Jesus with our strength. Did you follow that? We have to do this. So critical is this, that we love others with our strength, that we spend our energies, our physical strength, on those who are hurting, that Jesus says, if you don't do it, you're not saved. You say, yes, I am. I don't care for the poor, but I said the sinner's prayer. Jesus says, no, the evidence that you have my spirit in you is that you have my character, my heart, my will. And my will is to care for these people. I've told you what to do. If you refuse to do it, then you're not following me. You're not my follower. You're not saved. So you can say all you want. You've been baptized in the Jordan of Jersey up at the Bachmans. You have confessed Jesus before men. But if you don't care, if you don't spend your strength on caring for others, you cannot love God with all your strength. Now, the Bible says that we're called to bear one another's burdens. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 6? Found in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 6. You still with me, church? And by the way, you never waste your money, you never waste your muscle if you're helping the poor. You might think, well, that was a waste of time, that was a waste of money. If your intention was to help in Jesus' name, you've never wasted it. You can only do the opposite. If you withhold saying, I don't want to waste it, and I'm so afraid that I might waste it, and you withhold, then you've done nothing. Amen? So you'll waste some money. You can't take it with you, right? You can't take it with you. So spend your life on caring for people. In Galatians chapter 6, it says this. Verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught, and that means ensnared, in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself so that you may also not be that you also may not be tempted. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Well, we just read what the law of Christ was. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. You know, that's an interesting thing. It says, carry your own load, but carry somebody else's burden too. As we always have said here, God always gives you more than you can handle, right? Please remember that when your friends say God never gives you more than you can handle. He always gives us more than we can handle. Always. So that the body of Christ can come and say, I know you can't handle that burden. We're here for you. We're going to carry your burden with you so that we can fulfill the law of Christ. And that is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And by so doing, with our strength, loving God. I hope you get all that connection. So we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, and John, 1 John, go over to 1 John. I want you to read this. I was going to just read it to you. But go over to 1 John, almost the last book of the Bible. Just a few pages back from the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 4. In case you're not really grasping this connection. How do I love God with all my strength? God is omnipotent. He's the Almighty. He's made it all. How can my strength do anything for Him? He tells us how. Through loving other people as unto the Lord. Everything we do as unto the Lord, as we're giving that cup of water, as we're visiting in the hospital, as we're wasting our time on the lives of others, we're doing it as unto the Lord. We're loving Him with all of our strength. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says this. Sorry, one page behind. Says this. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us his command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. I don't think it's just meaning the brother in the faith, even though it could in this particular place. Jesus already shows us that it's even the enemy that's on the side of the road. Samaritans were enemies of the Jews. Samaritan helped them. You all know that. But the idea here is that we are supposed to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we do that with others. Now, how do we love God with all of our strength? Here we go. First of all, I want to give you a couple ideas of how do we do it? How does it work? How do we love God with all of our strength? Now, first of all, do everything toward God. Everything we do ought to be done as unto the Lord. Now, if you go visit somebody in the hospital, if you get it into your mind that what I'm about to do, I'm doing for the Lord. I've done funerals. I did a funeral today, went to a funeral yesterday. I've done over 400 funerals, and sometimes I meet men in their 60s, 70s years of age while I'm doing a funeral, and they'll say to me, this is my very first funeral ever. Can I tell you, some people don't ever want to go into a hospital. Oh, I can't take it. Can't take the blood. Can't take the smells. I can't take any of it. I can't take the pain. Let me tell you something. Get over yourself. Do whatever you do as unto the Lord. Amen? You're not going to Disney World. This is a place where people are hurting. I'm not going to go into prison. Bad people in prison. I can't go there. Get over yourself. This is unto the Lord. So you do everything as unto the Lord. Now, there was a poster in my house that my mom had in her shop. And it said, autograph your work with excellence. Autograph your work. Whatever you do, do as unto the Lord. But autograph it with excellence. Do the very best that you can all the time. Don't be a slacker. I'm telling you, we had tough rules in our house. Anyway, the point is, some people have called me OCD. I'm not OCD. I don't wash my hands 27 times. I don't go back to the door and check it 80 times to see if it's still locked. I do go two or three times because oftentimes I've left the door and was unlocked. And by the way, it's not OCD, it's CDO in alphabetic order as it should be. But I'm not OCD. I'm not CDO. I'm none of that. Some things bother me. Every once in a while, I'll get out my micrometer and see if these things are balanced. And by the way, this one's bothering me. This one's... All right, that's a little better.
All right.
Those kind of things bother me, but it's not OCD. There are things that may not be right. I'll fix it later. Anyway. Whatever I do, especially if it's unto the Lord, I want it to be done well. I want to autograph my work with excellence. It doesn't mean that I'm a perfectionist, but I don't want to do things for me that reflect poorly on my relationship with Christ. Now, that's OCD. Some people call me a workaholic. I'm not a workaholic. I like to work. I just think there's a lot of people that are restaholics. You know what that is? You know, love to rest. They love to sleep their whole days away. They're restaholics. I don't know if you know any. I know a few in my household. They're restaholics. They come home from work. I've worked 6 hours today. I'm tired. And they're done for the day. That's it. They're done. I'm thinking, man, I haven't gotten started 6 hours. And I got AIPS, ants in the pants syndrome. I'm working all the time. Doesn't mean I'm a workaholic. I just enjoy work. I like being in motion. I like working. But whatever we do, we ought to do it as unto the Lord, not just to be busy, not just to be working, not just to stay away from individuals, not just to avoid, but to do as unto the Lord. Amen? So whatever you do, whatever your job is, if you're dealing with people or dealing with things, do it as unto the Lord. Make your boss as successful as he can be because you're working for your boss as unto the Lord. Always be honest. Always be thorough. Always do what you're called to do. We used to work in a warehouse and the people would sleep in the back bins. Really? The workers would be asleep on the bins. Work is unto the Lord. With all of your strength, it should be spent in that way. Now, we need to do it more than anything else on those who are hurting. When we worship the Lord, do it with all your strength. When you prepare your messages for Sunday school or prepare a lesson or you get ready to evangelize or whatever you're doing as an ambassador for Christ, do it with all your strength. You should be exhausted at the end of every day doing things for the Lord with all your strength. Now, Stand strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now, that's toward the Lord. Now, the other thing is toward individuals. Spend your strength on those who are hurting, the scriptures tell us. Exhaust yourself helping people. It's a good exhaustion. It's as unto the Lord. Those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, you will never, ever, ever waste your money if you're doing it in the name of the Lord. I really believe it. I feel like some people look at me and say, yeah, you wasted $100 there, you wasted $20 there or whatever. I understand that. I get that. It might have gone for drugs. It might have gone for alcohol. I get that. That wasn't my intention. There may have been a wiser way to do it. But the reality is I was doing it as unto the Lord for individuals. And I know that there are mistakes made along the way. But I really don't think it was wasted if it's done as unto the Lord. So, are you with me still? A few more minutes. Now, what do you do if you come to that point where you say, Pastor, that's all fine and good. But right now in my life, my strength is gone. And you might be there. Say, Pastor, I'm barely hanging on. I'm going through the motions. I'm going through this. You may be staff. You may be a pastor, an elder, a ministry leader. But you're saying, I'm just barely hanging on. It's all fake right now because it's even fake is all I can muster because my strength is gone. I'm worn out. David says in Psalm 22, my strength is dried up like a potsherd. You know what a potsherd is? A piece of old pottery that they get up from the ground? It's dried up. It's dust. That's how my strength is. I have nothing left. So what do I do? Well, first of all, I want to tell you this. There are periods of desert times. I'd like you to go to Isaiah 40 for a moment. Isaiah 40. Most of you know this, I would imagine. Isaiah 40, that great eagle's wings passage. Isaiah chapter 40, starting with verse 28. I'm going to move quickly here, about the middle of your Bible. Isaiah 40, verse 28, says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. He doesn't. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to those who are weary. And he increases power to the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. And young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. A couple things in here. Number one, everybody gets weary, but God doesn't. Everybody, even youths, grow weary and tired, and they stumble and they fall. Nobody has unlimited strength, but God does. He never goes tired. And the second thing that I pull from here is he can rejuvenate you. He can give you your strength back. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up on wings as eagles. They'll run and will not be weary. They will walk and not faint. God can renew your strength. So I want to move quickly. How do you know? Or how did you get to this point? How do you get to this point where your strength is gone? I think there's a couple of reasons. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 4? I want you to listen carefully. This is a time I'm going to start to sting a couple of people. I want you to listen carefully because I want this church to do what God's called it to do. And I think that sometimes we get off base. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says this. It was Jesus, speaking of Jesus, it was Jesus who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. That's our job. So that the whole body of Christ might be built up. That's strengthened. The word is strengthened, edified, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What a goal to attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now listen, this is how it's done. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up in him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, that's every person who's a follower of Jesus, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and strengthens itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, one of the reasons why you're tired, Christian, is because a lot of the body of Christ are restaholics. They're not doing what they're called to do. And that's in their giving. That's in their serving. That is in their submitting. That is in their loving. That is in every aspect of our Christian walk. We say we're Christians, but we really don't get involved in bringing the body of Christ together as each part does its work. And so those who say, but this is kingdom stuff and the work needs to be done, we do the work and the 80 or the 20 do the 80%. You know that 20-80 rule, right? That should never be. This church is seen in our metropolitan district. This church is seen as a very generous church. But can I tell you, when you break down the four groups of 90-90-90-90, there's 360 giving units in this church. The lowest 90 give about $2,000 for the whole year. That's 90 people giving $2,000 over 52 weeks. The upper 90 give over $700,000 to this church. And then there's people in between. You see what I'm saying? There are some that say, you know what? I don't need to help. I don't need to be in Sunday school. I don't need to help in this way or that way. I'm just going to come, be a consumer, and leave and go on my merry way. And the body of Christ says, well, wait a minute. There's stuff that needs to be done. There's children that need to be reared in the gospel. There's stuff that happens that needs my help. And then there's still stuff left undone. So I guess I'm going to do that too. And they get burnt out because not everybody does their work. You follow me, church? How are we going to attain to the whole measure, the fullness of Christ, if some people are saying, nah, I don't need to do that. I don't need to bear that burden. I'll just let their burden continue to get stronger. We all need to be a part of it. We need to strengthen each other. Jesus says to Peter, go and strengthen the brothers. Paul and Silas were sent to encourage and strengthen the fellow believers. Paul sent Timothy to Thessalonica to strengthen and encourage the church. It's my hope that this church will always strengthen itself by helping one another. And I pray, listen to me. If you hear nothing else that I've said all day and our time is going, if you don't hear anything else I say, listen to me. The gossip in this church has to stop. The gossip in this church has to stop. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, the same chapter, it says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth except that which is meant to build up the body according to its needs, so that everyone who hears you might be encouraged. Stop talking about other people unless it's words of edification. Do you hear me? It has to stop, or otherwise we are going to be weak. Our strength is going to be sapped. We either encourage and strengthen, or we discourage and weaken. So please, let's band together. Let's encourage one another. I pray that we will not ever tear each other down, but we will only strengthen each other. Do everything we do as unto the Lord. Then, I believe, we will be loving God with all of our strength. The second reason why you might be weak is this. Or maybe your strength is gone. Might be this. Consider your Sabbath rest. Oftentimes we're told that Sabbath rest is about resting. Stop your work. Cease and desist. The word Shabbat means to cease. It means to stop your regular, ordinary work. But let me tell you something. Most people that I know that really take Sabbath word and they take it seriously, it's about sleep and relaxation. It's not about that. It's about taking a day and making it especially holy in the presence of God. It doesn't mean stop working, to tell you the truth. Stop from the mundane. See, Jesus dispels that idea that you stop working when he says, my Father's still working to this day. I'm still working to this day. In fact, it's good to do good on the Sabbath. It's not the work issue. It's what are we doing in that work time? Are we in the presence of the Lord in a very special time? Now, stay with me. Why do I bring this up? The Bible says that if your day of Shabbat is about relaxation and about sleep instead of the presence of the Lord, you will have spent that 24 hours resting and relaxing, and you will be even more tired. Because rest is found in him. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. You come to him to find rest. You don't go to your bed or your couch or the football game to find rest. Because if that's how you spend your Shabbat, it's going to be something that actually drains you, not invigorates you. The Bible says this, in the presence In his presence, Psalm 16, verse 11, in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hands are pleasures forevermore. And then Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is my what? So, if in his presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is my strength, then being in his presence is strength. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, you mathematicians. If one equals the other and the other equals the other, then they're all equal. If being in his presence is fullness of joy and joy is my strength and I need to get in his presence on my Shabbat, it's not about sleep. It's not about relaxation. It's about being in his presence. So my question is, maybe you're run down spiritually and you can't worship God with all your strength because you have no joy because you've not been in his presence. And so I challenge you to spend time in his presence. More and more. You with me, church? I hope that was not confusing. I tried to make it simple enough for me to understand it. I believe that to love God with all of our strength will be seen as we love one another, but we have to have the strength. We have to have strength to do it. You can't be on the edge of a nervous breakdown or a physical breakdown. You have to get into his presence. And body of Christ, every single person in this room who loves this church ought to be involved in something of the kingdom work here and other places too. But if you're all only involved out there, this thing implodes and we will be no more. And so then something else gets ignored. Every person who loves what God is doing here, the mission and the impact, ought to be involved somehow so that the body of Christ would be strengthened so we could love him with all of our strength. Amen. We're done. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight. We believe it was in your presence. I pray that that presence was felt in a very tangible way. Lord, we also recognize that whenever I speak on your behalf, it's a dangerous thing. So I pray that if there's anything of my flesh that has crept into this time, that it would be quickly forgotten, that only the things of you would remain. I pray for this fellowship. Lord, I pray for our tongues to be encouraging rather than destructive. I pray that we would strengthen one another by encouraging words, but we would also strengthen one another by bearing one another's burdens. Lord, I pray that as we minister to others, you will say, it is unto me, and you have loved me with your strength. So, Father, help us, especially if we've gone astray somewhere. Help us. Strengthen this church. As each part does its work, as unto the Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.